So, Werner, how do we start? Hey, it's again Werner, and this is the Catching the Next Wave podcast, where we discuss the future of design.
Okay, I'll tell you how we start. We're going to talk to someone who has not only transformed herself, but transforms a whole bunch of other people, maybe us included, right?
Definitely.
So today we're talking to Kelly Wood. She completed her honors in Bachelor of Business with a focus in marketing in 2006. She spent some time in marketing communication. She's also been in the world of brand development in sports and entertainment, and then spent some time as account manager at Sid Lee, as I mentioned. And then when you're in advertising, you value awards, and she's got a few of them. Canada's Top 10 Marketers, and also Strategy Magazine's Brand of the Year. We don't mess around in the next wave.
No.
Although she's been in the marketing world, I mean, I could argue that she's been skirting the fringes of full-blown creative work. And then she faced the monsters. In fact, she drew them. She started an illustration company called Little Big Words. I had a look at some of the work. The website's still there. I don't know if it's active, but it's awesome. Kelly is also a provost. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah, you got it.
It means a head of an educational institution. Kelly is a provost for Seth Godin's Old MBA, a groundbreaking four-week workshop designed to accelerate learning and shape future leaders. Her efforts as provost recently earned her a nomination for Canada's Top 40 Under 40.
Wow.
That, and she is Canadian.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
Kelly, we are all three the alumni of the Old MBA. We wanted to ask you what Old MBA is, because probably many people didn't hear about it. But then we thought that perhaps we should start with our definitions. So, Werner, what's your definition?
So, for me, the Old MBA is an alternative education program that is designed to unlock the potential of future leaders and also get them in the habit of producing the work and become the artist that they are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, Aga?
For me, this is the space for people who want to jump, but are afraid to do so, to jump.
For me, Alt MBA has a few connotations, but I really think that over the years, because we've now done over 23 sessions, it really is a platform for people to become the best version of themselves, whether it's leading your family or leading an organization or leading your startup. First, it was a program that was written that studied how change happens in the free market. And so if you look at Seth's origins of how he did it, he sat in a hut in Utah and looked at the how change actually happened. One of his biggest inspirations was the Civil Rights Movement by Martin Luther King, and said, okay, how did one person or how did a group of people change something within society? And he took derivatives of that. And then what's happened is now that we have and understand his thinking, we built a community around that. So leadership, which we all know is extremely hard. So you learn how to be a leader, but you also get the platform of a community during the hard parts. That's so imperative in being able to get change off the ground. So it's 4 weeks worth of intense, deep introspection and also the ability to voice so many things and the ideas in your head that you've always wanted to do. And whether it's changing climate change or working on your own tech startup, whatever that change is, it amplifies your work and helps you discover all the parts of you as a leader and helps you on the path of who you truly want to become.
Kelly, you are also one of the original Alt MBA graduates. So over this period of time, what has changed? Like, how has this process been evolving?
So I was a student in Alt MBA 1, and the course was bare bones. When I was a student, one of the things that I really observed, how technology can really strip the human out of it.
Yeah.
So much of my work has been to offset two things. So the first part is, how do you bring a human to life through the screen? Because technology has us completely drowning in our phones. It drowns us with notifications. It drowns us and pulls us in so that we're not connecting in the same way. So everything that we do now is centered about, how do you bring a human to life through the experience? And then the second part is, my experience in university and post-secondary education, I was just a student number. No disrespect to them, that's the way that business school works in a larger format. And I was 02002119. If I went to class, no one cared. If I wrote the exam, you know, it was a very linear transactional exchange. So when it came to Alt MBA, it's that, what does it feel like, especially with Seth, and so much of his work is not only just your work matters, but you matter, really making sure that the community felt that the students that were in the class mattered and their work mattered. So we've been trying to debunk education that way and making experiences where, you know, every single student counts and every journey is different, and respecting that instead of just, here's the educational model, here's what you need to deliver, here's your test, and really truly making the educational experience purely about the student and their journey.
This is the amazing thing about the Ald MBA for me, that although it's called Seth's Ald MBA, this is not about Seth at all. For me, it was mind-blowing from an educational perspective how you can remove your ego from the equation, because I think that this is the bottom line there, that like you get rid of your ego and you don't have to show that this is all about your smartness, your knowledge, your view of the world, but just make your students to focus on ourselves.
Seth, he provides inspiration and he truly is a teacher, but in a totally different respect. So much of how we've grown up and through traditional education is that command and control, the teacher has the right answer mindset. That's not necessarily true. There's a lot of truths. There isn't one singular truth. There's so many people that don't question authority and how much that they give power. That's not to say, you know, everything needs to be challenged, but without, you assume that the teacher is correct. And you assume that your boss is correct. All of those sorts of things that have come from the compliance-based mindset. So how powerful it is when people start to discover that they can put up their hands and they can take their education and teaching into their own hands and discover their own right answers. I highly recommend for anybody that's listening to watch What is School For? By Seth and his talk at the TEDx. That's the birthplace of Alt MBA and what he's truly trying to change about education, especially when the educational model was written back, you know, during a totally different era.
The Industrial Revolution, right?
Kelly, there's something that I picked up that you just mentioned around the Alt MBA that I didn't really think about. Actually, it really segues nicely into what we are talking about in a transformational economy, is that it's really becoming about the individual. We've spoken about how transformational the Alt MBA is, but then you also mentioned how it actually zooms down to the individual level. How do you ensure that that continues? We still live a little bit in a world where we look at mass communication. Let's get a group of people to do stuff, where the Alt MBA has this level of very, very personal experience.
So there's two territories. Number one is that I wholeheartedly believe that you cannot change others until you change yourself. And that you become crystal clear about the change that you are making and getting all the skeletons out of the closet and all of your fears. And just even if they're not gone away, at least learn how to dance with them better. So that deep personal work is all things that can be brought within Alt MBA. The second thing is when Seth and I had talked about it, we're not doing this to get $10 million worth of venture capital funding to disrupt the entire educational industry. We are here and committed to doing work that we're proud of with students that we're proud of. And the second that we stop compromising the deeply rich, intimate experience that's focused on the individual, then we don't do it. So one of our core decision criteria as leaders has always been, we're not doing this to completely disrupt the world. We're trying to do it for a group of people that are passionate about this. And we will stay true to our values and take really good care of the people that are going to come with us. We're okay with the fact that we may not change everybody, but we are wholeheartedly committed to changing the people that we feel are our people.
And also who want to change, rather than to enforce the change on them, right?
Absolutely. And so much of Alt MBA, we say all the time, is what you get out of it is what you put into it. These people that come say, I put up my hand and say, I want to transform. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to start that change that is meaningful to me. So all of those people, that's what we look for in applications, is people who want to be there.
So does it mean that sometimes people apply who are not really committed?
Sure. We have to be really careful about the notion about being committed and making different priorities. There are some people who have started the course and have been so encompassed by it, quit their jobs in the middle of it because they're so hooked. We have a 96% completion rate of the course, which is phenomenal. So the community is amazing, but there are real things that do happen in life. And we always give compensation and for extenuating circumstances. But I don't know if this is wrong to say, but the customer service feedback that we get isn't that they're not into the work. Seth is just, there's a very good reason why he's one of the most brilliant people in the world and a world-class thinker, is because there isn't very many people out there that are thinking like him. The content is so personal and so relevant, and it happens that it changes the way that people operate both personally and professionally. So we lucked in with the guy that wrote the course.
We
we lucked in.
Which answers the question, why do you work at Alden VA?
So I'd been a Seth fan for years. I'd followed his books. He actually helped me, his book, The Purple Cow, when I was a young business school graduate, helped me get my first job and beat out a couple hundred people for the position. I remember my boss said, Ms. Kelly, you have absolutely no experience. I said, I know. But your resume is at the top of the pile. How did you do that? I had read The Purple Cow just when I had quit university. So I told Seth that he was the reason also that I got my first job. So it's funny how everything comes full circle. I quit my job in advertising after a blog post that I read from him. I don't know if that's a good thing, but he has a tendency to do that. He provoked me in some really important ways to start my own thing. My own company was also inspired so much by him and love of art and being brave. I went down to a conference that he was doing when I was an entrepreneur, and he changed my mind about how I was seeing the world. It was really hard for me to leave my own company. I obviously loved what I did, but as I've gone through it, how powerful it is to watch what we are doing, not just how people transform in the program, but how so many cultures and so many diversities that we have one of the healthiest global conversations. Originally, you know, I work for Seth because I deeply respect him. He is with so much integrity and just a good man. His platform is just internationally bring people together in a way and have a global conversation that doesn't exist. People that are within Alt MBA are inspired to be the best version of themselves. That is something that the world right now just craves. So I think that that's some of the work that I'm the most proud of is that if some of the major companies operated in the way that we did with quality and fairness and dignity, we would live in a very, very different world.
Seth, of course, he is. Some of the content is in Alt MBA, but he is not in there. I mean, you're going to not be hanging out with him, and that's not the intention, because I felt like he wanted to be about the people participating and the value that the coaches bring. But it left me with a question that how much is he still involved in the design of the Alt MBA? But then also, how are you guys thinking about the longevity of the Alt MBA beyond Seth?
First and foremost, Seth is, there was an interview that he gave outside of New York where I remember he said, the work of my life that never gets old for me is in helping people see themselves. Like Seth's legacy and tribute, it's not that he is going to give you the answer and hold you hand for your life. His life's work is dedicated to, can I inspire that person deeply within themselves to be their own champion? He said, that never gets old for me. So, because he's not a scalable asset and he can't be in every single room. Yeah. And so he's tried to design a place where possibility is seen and empowerment is celebrated. Oftentimes people ask me, you know, what it's like. And I said, it's like I'm Walt Disney's brother, where Walt Disney was the genius that drew Mickey and drew Donald. And every single thing that I do every day, it's that, how do I design an experience that pays tribute to his values? How do I find the right people? How do I design systems that pay tribute to what he seeks to do? So I'm a little bit like Walt Disney's brother, I guess, trying to design Disneyland. Is the decision that we're about to make, whether it is somebody that's having a really hard time in the course, or, you know, we're designing a new facet of the course, would this have a place on Seth's blog? Is this something that we're proud of? Is this something that will matter to somebody else? So those guiding principles are really good decision criteria that allow that feeling that we all feel about Seth to continue and amplify with the community of 3,000 people. I can sometimes think he's more fulfilled watching his team grow and leap and be brave and all that kind of stuff, because he's done it. It's not that he needs to do it, right? Because he loves it. So to watch the people that work with him, that's just how he rolls. He finds so much fulfillment actually in the development of others.
Tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes Alt MBA.
The fascinating part is Alt MBA was built in this office, in this Mac. I laugh all the time that it's everybody's computer is the workshop. When I say that is the cultural storytelling that happens when you meet students from all around the world to hear someone's story from London and hear somebody's story from Hong Kong and see how much possibility that there is in that. There's one of my favorite lines from Alt MBA that Seth wrote is that asking yourself really honestly, is there a part of yourself that's engineering you to stay small? I've been now to Los Angeles and San Francisco and London, and I'm about to go to Milan and New York, and the global community is fantastic. Not only the content, the auxiliary part of it that comes with possibility, yeah. which is so powerful. Main disadvantage is the semiotics that come with written messaging. We want to really, really dig in and say yeah. how people's personalities radiate. So sometimes that can cause conflict, especially between cultures, in that somebody feels sharp or somebody feels too direct. So much of it is doing two things. Number one is that operating from a place of this person does not intend to harm. The other downfall, and something that we try to do, is that with the everybody working at home and their computers, how do we make somebody feel like they belong? I try and call as many students as I can during the class and say, if we were in a physical location together, I would have a coffee next to you. I would tell me how things are going, because you only know what people are telling you. If you saw the AltMBA as a business case at Harvard, that, well, all these people who don't know each other and are connected through technology, the business case doesn't make sense. So that's where the humanity comes in, and so much humanity within our design, and saying, how do I make this person feel like they belong? And that begins with bringing together a team that really cares about people. While artificial intelligence is going one way, we seem to be going the complete opposite way, because we're humans first, not technology first.
In design, we talk about the magic circle.
Yes.
I find that in AltMBA, even though it doesn't sound very professional, there is the magic circle. The experience itself creates that virtual feeling of, I am in a place where I can feel safe. That is probably also intentionally designed like that, right?
There's been some fascinating organizations that we've studied about the importance of psychological safety and the ability to solve problems and not feel like a failure, and how active we are as a coach team, especially to have make sure that there's no shaming and no blaming, that the art of possibility, that everybody deserves the opportunity to feel infinite and mm-hmm. being in the infinite game. So Seth's blog attracts a certain type of person. And then there's a degree of, you sort of know these people, but you trust us enough to know that they're of like-minded values, which make you more open to share. I think this is just one of my guiding principles. And I thank my first mentor for teaching me this, which is, people won't tell you the truth unless they feel safe.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And you have to just love your people unconditionally. So there's so much of, if you know the truth, then you guys can at least work around it. So much of the culture that we've built and the guiding principles of leadership for me personally, not maybe not for everybody, is we don't shame. And if we're self-aware enough to not blame, so many people, especially at work, even sometimes at home, are afraid to just speak the truth. But if you can create a safe environment where people can do that, then also their fear-based behaviors of defensiveness and of shutting down and of their argumentativeness also goes away. If you look at modern culture, it's just polluted with shaming and blaming. And what a powerful thing it is to just show up and say, Zara, my boss, who just said, we are all human. So if you just see that person as a human, and we do everything that we can to just be human about it.
I think you're doing a good job, but that's for me to say. But so, the following part of the conversation, we want to focus a little bit about you. Some of the research we did, we read an article where you told the story of where you got injured and you had to recuperate for over a period of time. But it wasn't that time also that you kind of started refocusing yourself around the creative work that you wanted to do. And Little Big Words was born out of that. The reason we bring this up is that the assumption we make that you've taken a negative experience and you've transformed it into something positive.
So I was pretty serious cyclist. I was training a lot and I ended up herniating two discs in my back. I think it was the day after Boxing Day. I woke up in an S-curve in my bed and I couldn't move my legs. I'd never been in that kind of pain. I was misdiagnosed from the start, and I went back actually to the doctor at Toronto FC and said, Kelly, I think you've been misdiagnosed. I need you to get an MRI. I had to wait until I was officially diagnosed. I was just really honestly in a vacuum of change. It's really easy when those sets of circumstances happen to you, where you can choose to be a victim and say, why is this happening to me? And definitely had those thoughts. But I sat down and said, I have all of this time on my hands. What am I going to do with it? I mean, I'd never taken a drawing lesson before. And if you look at the arc of what Little Big Words is, that's a person healing, because I couldn't do anything. I couldn't lift weights, couldn't do yoga. I lived on going to physiotherapy and the chiropractor and acupuncture. You know, I just pretty much lived until one day I would eventually feel better. So it was about 18 months of recovery. There are a few things that why it's important. Number one, I think as any artist, it's important that the rest, you have something for you that the rest of the world just can't have. It was a really important way for me to also convey how I needed to see the world. And sometimes you don't understand why certain things happen. But at the time, I looked at all the characters and saw the way that the world could be. So Jim Henson has been one of my most inspirational creatives. He's like Seth, but in the what he's done with Sesame Street and the Muppets. So I created an entire universe of the way that people could treat each other. Looking back in retrospect, I can't help but think that when I got to the interview and interviewing with Seth, he just saw my values and said, this is the person that I need to do it. So however you believe that things happen, they do happen. But that company is really, really important part of myself. Some of the coolest parts, though, were going to the Hospital for Sick Children here in Toronto and coloring with kids. Most of all, I think it really brought me back to the place of what it felt like to be a kid again. I would be up until 4 a.m. drawing sometimes because I was just so enamored with it. But I really, really believe that art is a really healing place. It's everything has to do with what you choose to do with your life, what you choose to do with your time defines your character. For me, I said, I may not be big, but I will do something that is important for me. And I certainly didn't make a fortune, but I did love what I did and love what I did every day.
Do you still draw?
I don't. And getting Alt MBA off the ground has been my entire focus. And I looked at my role as a servant leadership. You know, I went through the experience and I knew how powerful it was and I knew that it could amplify other people. And so focused on just how do I get Alt MBA off the ground? When you look at, we went from Seth and I and a girl named Wes right at the very beginning. The team grew to 5 and then 10 and then 12 and then 15 and then 20 and then 40 coaches.
It's 40 people already.
And during a 3 sessions, there's usually 40 people working actively at the time.
Kelly, I will now make a statement and see if this resonates, is that you're still doing art. Your medium has just changed.
Absolutely. But one of the best parts, I think it's like woodworkers or carpenters, there's this deeply visceral sensation that happens when you put pencils to paper and the smell of pencil crayons and the print process and the actual physical coloring side of things that allows, it's a very childlike behavior. And I asked my mom, I said, what was I like as a kid? And she said, all I needed to do was just put you in front of Sesame Street with a pack of crayons and you were just gone. You know, I didn't have to do much. And so she said, I would sit at her feet and she would be knitting and stuff. And she said, you just drew for hours and hours and hours and watched Sesame Street all the time. So I think that there's a part of just me personally that just loves drawing, just loves it. Towards the end, I got a really good piece of advice from a designer friend, and this is for all artists that are out there, was she was working at TBWA New York. She was head of design for H&M. She was doing, you know, big stuff with David Beckham and Giselle and all this kind of stuff. And she said, Kelly, I said, yes. And she said, you can't look at anybody else's art. You need to promise me, you can't look at Jim Henson's art. You can't look at Tim Burton. You can't, you need to find your own voice. Another one of my friends had said, well, when you don't take their money, they can't tell you what to do.
That's great.
I definitely am still doing art. I don't spend a lot of time these days with art markers in my hands as much as I used to, but it was fun.
You call yourself a creative person with a business mindset.
Yes.
What does it mean?
I went to business school. I felt like I was dying sometimes. I think creative people just need to feel a different way than business school makes you feel. I don't know if it's a spiritual feeling or whatever it is, but it's, I have the discipline and rigor that comes with business school and, you know, being able to make good decisions and thinking strategically and thinking critically. But there's also a really important part of creativity that comes with freedom, that comes with innovation, that, you know, it's the birthplace for so many things. There's a very mathematical focus sometimes that comes with business school, but so much of business is actually done based on human relationships and creativity. So it's the intersection of the mind, of EQ and IQ and spirit, I think. So maybe I'm not the traditional business person, but some people just love tech and love math. I can do the math, but just I like
choose not to.
I just didn't love it. Like I could do the math, but I didn't love it. Yeah.
Kelly, the notion of a linchpin, right? We mentioned it before, and of course, Seth has a book around it. How do you interpret it in your life?
Being a linchpin is a choice, and not everybody signs up for the responsibility that comes with it. If you do the hard work, we talk about this a lot in Alt MBA, all the emotional labor and all that posture, and I think it changes a lot of people's lives when they realize that they create their own reality. And that's completely a choice.
It had a big influence on you, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's definitely the turning point. In short, yes, it changed my life.
We already talked that Alt MBA is designed to transform people and to help them change. Where does your job start in this process and where does it end as coaches, as the program leaders?
It starts with, how do I truly see the person that's walked in the door? It has nothing to do with they're a marketer from Apple, that they're an engineer from Amazon. This person believes this. This person is afraid of this. This person always dreams that they did this. It's the questions behind the posturing. If you really take human beings down to their core, you know, I joked a bit about this when I was with Seth on Facebook Live. What is it like to do Alt-MBA? And I said, sometimes it's like seeing the matrix, where you can see people and see the matrix and see worldviews and beliefs and storytelling.
Yeah.
I would say that there are three fundamental things that are rampant in society. Everyone is lonely. They are seeking to fulfill some void. Second thing is that I think everybody seeks to belong. The third thing I really think that everybody seeks is to be cared for and loved, right? In this very visceral human way. So if you see humans that way and you look at loneliness and afraid, belonging and love, that really gives you a trajectory of like how you can serve people. We all start with the beginning of this person is a human and they've created a story about themselves. But who is that true person and what are they seeking? How do we shepherd that and have them see possibility? Because we know that society and culture, whether it's from the educational system or their boss or, you know, all the things that somebody should tell them that they should be, and just ask the question, what do you truly want? And how do we help you be the engine to help get you there? How do we get this person to see their potential and not somebody else's potential so that they can do the work on themselves? Like I said at the beginning, it's that you can't change other people until you truly become aware and fully actualize within yourself and stop giving power to others and finding that empowerment within yourself.
The transformation, it doesn't stop with the Alt-MBA. It's actually just the first step. So when does your job stop and does it stop?
So that's two things, which is the program is designed so that Seth had said this iconic line, which is once you see it, you can't unsee it. Right. And the thing that we know that is true is that once you see Alt-MBA, you can't shut it off. That the way that the glasses have been put on about fear and about constraints and about narratives and all that kind of stuff, it's that it's kind of like being a parent or maybe just like giving your kid tools for life. I would argue that we haven't designed a good system if the people within it don't feel empowered to live it. We're not going to be the people that are going to hold that person's hand. I can't be, Seth can't be, the coaches can't be. So how do we give people the tools that they need? First and foremost, the actual thinking, cognitive tools within themselves. And then the second thing is that how do we build the community surrounding that? How do we help you find the others? The more that I'm able to say, hey, do you know this person from New York? And do you know this person in San Francisco? And the more that we protect the space that we've created and saying, are the right people coming in from an alumni community perspective? How do we start doing and activating events in cities? But we haven't designed something that is the true empowerment of confidence and leadership. If people need to keep coming back to the source or looking to us to give them the answer, the most powerful thing that we seek to design is to coach ourselves out of a job. That we've succeeded if, you know, you have the teaching that you need and you have the confidence and resources that you need to do your change, because we can be places that you can come back to. But we haven't truly done the job of transforming people if they feel like they need to come back. The goal is always to have them find and discover that power within themselves.
I have a practical question here.
Sure.
There was an announcement about doing the Alt-MBA again.
Yeah, we did the first one as a beta test. We do that a lot. We'll do something on a small scale just to test it and see if it works. The fascinating thing for so many people, and I've had lots of people say, I'm in a completely different stage of my life. I could write the prompts to a whole different set of circumstances. All the people stuck with it and had a really, really good time. So it's something that we're definitely willing to entertain. But you who you are at 35 is not who you are at 40.
Yeah.
You know, you and the work that Seth has created is so timeless that it's, you know, those are life lessons. Alt-MBA gives you the tools like riding a bicycle or learning to swim, but in the EQ side of things.
As a coach, how do you handle the circumstances where people are maybe extremely affected? I'm sure you had to deal with some extreme emotions. How do the coaches handle that?
First and foremost, a huge part of the culture that we built within the Alt-MBA coaching team is just being honest about the dip. I have a really good friend. She gave me a piece of advice. She counsels street kids. So she's got quite a tough job. I said, how do you set boundaries around your time and about your work? And she said, I can only do 4 a day. You'll notice that the coach's team is specifically rotates each session so that they have time to recover, especially if they've had a negative experience. 98% of the time, Alt MBA is awesome and we have positive transformations, but burnout is a real thing. So strategic recovery from a leadership perspective and the emphasis really on, no, it's okay. You can go offline, you can recover. We have some incredible resources also within the team in the event that there is an issue. We have a wonderful woman by the name of Shannon Weber who works for us. She's a licensed social worker, and we also have a psychologist on our team as well. We have the worst case scenario in effect. So also having the coaches coach the students about, it is okay for it not to be perfect. It is okay. There are no grades. Just making sure that people feel supported. Mm-hmm. I saw firsthand about what that was like.
I'm sure that you guys hear after every session how many lives you've changed. How does it feel?
Sometimes it's really easy to focus on things that didn't work. How important it is to cognitively always, I always share the stories with the coaches so that they know that their work makes a difference. But I mean, what an extraordinary gift for somebody to look to and say, you've had a profound impact on my life. On our coaches team, an amazing story has come out, which is one of our coaches in Alt MBA designed a project that's called Prosper City. And it's an organization that fights for equality and diversity within America and equal pay. So she was like, this is my dream as a startup. And then one of the other coaches on the team is just like, well, do you want some help? And then they became business partners. And then they went and pitched Nike. Wow. And then they hired 3 other people from the coaches team that are all Alt MBA graduates. And now they have a whole company.
Wow. Right?
And that's a thing. There's entire organizations we've had. Simon Sinek has sent his employees through us, and they've come back and said, do you know that we're able to talk to each other in a completely different way? I had a guy come up to me in New York. He came up to me and he said, Kelly, he's like, I know that you have no idea who I am. And I said, but that's okay. And he said, I just need you to know that he's just like, you changed my life. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, the prompt that I wrote about empathy, I was able to finally talk to my wife about our financial situation.
Wow, that's
so powerful. Sometimes, yeah. And he's like, you may have saved my marriage. Wow. I said, or I didn't save your marriage. No, you did the work. Another one was, I wrote A Different Way Forward with Seth after an experience that I had about, I was down in Raleigh, North Carolina. I was giving a speech and there was a young man that came up and said, you speak all the time about empathy. Can you help me understand? I'm in a situation with my parents where I vehemently disagree with their political views. How do you change someone's mind and make them see you? I fumbled on stage and I didn't give a very good response, I don't think. And then, so I went home and practiced and tried in a relationship that I had. And then I sat down with Seth and I said, I think that this is how change happens. We wrote A Different Way Forward. You read that prompt, and one guy, I was in Los Angeles, he came up to me afterwards and he said, Kelly, he said, I want you to know that after I did A Different Way Forward, I hadn't spoken to my mother in 3 years. And now I talk to her every single day.
Wow.
So sometimes it's not the work that happens within the workshop. Yeah. It's the work that starts to happen afterwards when people have these skills to get through and make change happen. That's what we teach, is this is how change happens. And sometimes it's major societal systemic change. And sometimes it's really just changing the relationship with your wife.
Your life is only partially about the Alt MBA. The other part is about startups, isn't it?
I've done a few. It's not my first rodeo, but I'm a little bit addicted to them, I think. I wouldn't do well in a big organization, I don't think, because I really, really love figuring it out. And I'm also really okay with being wrong. And I love being the underdog. I love it. to have something that doesn't exist yet. When I was a kid, you know, some girls played with Barbies, but I was playing with Legos because I love building things. Like if it doesn't exist yet, it's like, how do I build? How do I build? How do I build? But startups pique my curiosity. They really, really, you know, activate the creative side of my brain. I love designing features that don't exist yet. Building things that are sustainable, where you can look at when you leave, you sit down and say, okay, that is a thing that stands that way. I contributed to that. When you accept the fact that you are a pioneer, you are really okay. Your ego gets really okay with being wrong. You constantly live the mentality of this might not work and I'm okay with it, but I know that I'm trying to climb Everest or whatever it is. But the just finding assurance in yourself, so many people are just wanting to participate, but I've really had to change my mindset because of doing startups and saying I am a pioneer. And I'm willing to be disagreed with.
It also comes with this ambiguity, right? What is your take on it?
one of my favorite lines that keeps me going through is actually a quote from Letters to a Young Poet. It is, "Can you have the simple faith to trust that life is always in the right? It will be so anyway." That's a very maybe like spiritual principle, and I'm not a really religious person, but if you define your self-worth based on who you are, and so my self-worth is not defined that I was all of those awards, that's just stuff. But in ambiguity, the thing that you can change is, and the thing that you can find true validation is who I was in that moment as a human being. Did I act with integrity? Did I do the right thing? Am I proud of myself? And if you can come up with narratives that say, I will do something that I am proud of, even if this fails, I know who I was, because at the end of the day, the person that you make peace with is yourself. And if you sit down and say, in every single situation, I strive to do my best and I strive to act with integrity and from a good place, I can always look back and say, I did the right thing. I tried my best and I was human about it.
Power. Kelly, we had this debate and I think we agreed, because it wasn't really a debate, is that because we are doing a design show and we see you as transformational experience designer. If you had to say how to design transformational experiences, what would you say?
Be human first. Understand that if you get down really to the core of what fulfills people and what they're afraid of, there's that iconic statement where it's like, what you seek is seeking you. Asking questions like, how would I want to be treated? Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. Understand that people are lonely. People seek to belong and they're afraid. People seek to have love. When I was working as a remote worker, I missed the water cooler. So how could I design experiences that did that? I also, when it came to meeting my team, and I realized that everybody was seeking the exact same thing, but we created office hours because I didn't feel like I had as any coaching. So I started coaching them, and I also hiring remote people that you've never met. So I have 40 people that I'd never met in person that I had to hire. You can look at LinkedIn, but it was like, how do I just spend time with them on the internet and have breakfast with them on a Sunday morning and say, what matters to you, right? So we make conscious effort in remote culture to bring people through the screen as much as we can. So much of the Alt MBA human-centric design experience maybe came from me being lonely and being isolated to begin with. I remember somebody had said to me once that I don't understand, Kelly, I don't understand why you want so much for yourself. I said, I think maybe I need to change the environment that I'm in right now, because there are people out there who want more for themselves and want to know, this is my edge, this is where I'm going, and I want to know what I'm capable of. And there are people out there like me.
If you had to leave your house right now and grab one of your precious books on the way out, which one would it be?
Great question. There's a Canadian author by the name of Catherine Gildner that she has a PhD and she's a psychologist here in Toronto. And she wrote three books just really funny about her childhood. They're called Too Close to the Falls, After the Falls, and there's a third book. And I've read that series at least four or five times. It's laugh out loud, just girl stories, very similar like the Canadian books of Anna Green Gables, of this woman that, you know, was growing up in the 60s and experiences of dating and being in a small town and really just funny human stories. She talks about when her mom passed away, she said, you never really lose somebody if you always carry a piece of them with you. She was a professor at the University of Toronto. And she said that she would talk to her mother after she passed away as like a passenger in her car. Wow. And she's like, people would have thought that I was crazy, but at the end of the day, I would still talk to my mom. And it's the whole mentality of like, you never really lose somebody if you carry a piece of them with you. So all of the intellectual stuff that I can read, I'm more than happy to read about politics. I love The Economist. I love reading about tech, and I obviously love Seth's books, but I'm trying really hard right now to be in fiction.
Yeah.
To let my brain recover from all of the Fast Company that I read and Harvard Business Review, just to live in fiction for a bit and to let my brain recover differently from the amount of content that I consume in an average day.
If you were to tell what is your mission statement, what would it be?
Probably a riff off of what Seth says when it's talking about do work that you're proud of, but mine would be someone that you're proud of. People think that leadership is always when people are looking, but usually leadership is when people are not looking, or you think that they're not looking. So I think if, you know, his mantra is do work that matters, and that is definitely true. If I had a personal one, it would be somebody that you're proud of.
Thank you so very much.
It was a pleasure to chat with you. You guys are awesome.
And that was Aga and Werner on Catching the Next Wave podcast. And we will be back.